This is Piedmont Arts. I'm David Borax. Photographer Annie Leibovitz is legendary for her iconic photos of celebrities, from professional athletes and politicians to entertainers and artists. You know her work. There's the 1980 photo of Yoko Ono and John Lennon just hours before he was murdered. That nude photo of a pregnant Demi Moore on the cover of Vanity Fair. A bare-chested Arnold Schwarzenegger on a white horse. Some of her most famous photos of the past 50 years, and a few you may not have seen, are included in the exhibit Annie Leibovitz, Work, now open at the Mint Museum Uptown in Charlotte. This week on Piedmont Arts, we talk with Mint Chief Curator Jen Sudell-Edwards about Leibovitz's style and career.
That start in photojournalism that she had with Rolling Stone is something that I see her bringing into magazines like Vanity Fair and Vogue, where there is this real self-awareness on what celebrity culture and what the cult of celebrity does to society.
Also, Phil Vavra has his weekly fanfare segment in which he offers a few ideas from our arts and entertainment calendar. That's all to come here on the Piedmont Arts Podcast from WDAV. The Annie Leibovitz Show at the Mint Uptown is a big deal if you're a fan of photography or politics or pop culture. It opened April 27th and runs through August 31st. We tried to get Leibovitz here on the Piedmont Arts Podcast, but we're told she's not doing interviews. So we turned to Jen Sudell-Edwards, the Mint's chief curator and curator of contemporary art. She's been at the Mint since 2019. Before that, she was a curator at the Beckler Museum of Modern Art in Charlotte and at museums in Pasadena and Santa Barbara, California. Photography and pop culture are among her specialties. I started by asking her to describe what people will see in this show.
They'll actually see the entire arc of her 50-plus year career. She started as a reportage photographer for Rolling Stone early on. That was her first big break, so to speak. Her first published photograph in Rolling Stone was when she was still just 20 years old, and she was at the San Francisco Art Institute, and she took a photograph of a Vietnam protest, and that was put on the cover of Rolling Stone. And then 3 years later, she's on the masthead as their first chief photographer. And so at the beginning of her career, you see her shooting the world around her, and she's really working as a reporter with a camera. But then as you get into the famous celebrity photographs that most of us know from the cover of Vanity Fair and, you know, Vogue and the movie star issues and all of those, you know, the Queen and all those famous issues, what I find interesting, and she talks about this herself, is that while we think of these as very sort of staged or posed photographs, it feels like she, in fact, was thinking about how their setting and their place and their how they hold themselves is something that she's reporting on, much as she had throughout her career, where she's looking around reporting stories or covering the Democratic convention in 72. And, you know, like, it's interesting when it's laid out in the exhibition as like the progression of her career. You see those celebrity photographs in a different way.
I saw the show at the press preview a couple of weeks ago. It fills half the fourth floor at the Mint Museum Uptown. It's divided into several sections, beginning with some of the first photos she ever took with the camera she bought in 1968, including some of her family. There's the first photo she ever published, Ladders on a Kibbutz in Israel for Rolling Stone magazine. The show then follows the development of her career from documentary photography into portraiture and her career with Vanity Fair. Finally, there's a densely packed wall of some of her most famous photographs, of the famous. Opposite that is a gallery full of giant digital screens with rotating images of people and places she's photographed. The layout and progression were Leibovitz's doing, says Sudell-Edwards.
She was very much involved in the design of the whole show. And so the first three quarters are set up like her studio with home soap board, which is basically kind of like, do you know what that is? It's like pressed wood that you can put photographs in, and everything is put up with push pins. So it's like when she's editing a shoot in her studio, laying out the photographs for consideration, having it on this neutral backing so that the photos read immediately, grouping things in different ways to see how they play off each other. So that experience of her as a worker and as a professional photographer, you know, like this idea of constructing an image and constructing a story with an image, is something that really comes across in the exhibition. It's not beautifully framed photographs that are isolated by themselves. It's about the process of making a photograph, telling a story.
She has taken some incredibly famous photographs of celebrities. You know, you mentioned the Queen Elizabeth photo from England, the famous photo of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. So my question is, what are some of those photos that we'll see in there?
John and Yoko are in there for sure. The famous Steve Martin, where he's standing in front of his Franz Kline painting and the white tuxedo, and he's covered in the black paint. There's a whole, we call it the salon wall, and it's basically all of those famous cover photographs that people think of when they think of Leibovitz. So the Demi Moore photograph where she's pregnant and nude and showing off her pregnant body, and that giant diamond ring on her finger. That's all that she's wearing, is the giant diamond. All of those beautiful photographs of the Williams sisters, of Venus and Serena Williams, all the great celebrity photos, Whoopi Goldberg in the bathtub of milk, the beautiful photographs of, well, I think they're beautiful, but Meryl Streep with her white face makeup on, and this idea of like who she is and do we ever really know who she is, and kind of all of the signature images, I think.
All in one place.
Well, there are over 500 photographs in the show, so there's a lot. There are 324 still images. But then, and this is a fascinating new project that Leibovitz is showing in this exhibition, she's been doing these large digital screens. I mean, they're huge. There are five in the show. And they are showing these cycles of photographs that she has taken over the last, I would say, 20 years of the people who she sees as defining our society, our popular culture, our ideology of what it means to be in the United States in the 21st century. So you go from this three quarters of the gallery being these still photographs that are very powerful unto themselves. But then you enter this dark space and you're surrounded by these towering screens, and you just have these giant, beautiful, but also profoundly informative images of everyone from like James Turrell and his skyscape projects, or Agnes Martin sitting quietly waiting for inspiration in her home Southwestern studio, to Venus and Serena Williams, or Misty Copeland standing in this beautiful pose on point, to political leaders and critics. Meaning political critics. So like Brian Stevenson standing in front of his desk, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, as well as Elon Musk, who, when she took the photographs, meant something very different. He was just this citizen who wanted to go to space. So like 2017, it meant something very different than what we think of Elon Musk now. So it's interesting not only to see this different approach to photography, but also how these personalities that we know change over time. You know, these many of these figures have a whole different impression on us 5, 10, 15 years after the photographs were taken versus at the time they were taken.
Oh, it sounds like we should be planning to spend some time with this show.
When I first saw the show, I'm not going to lie, I spent an hour in front of the salon wall just because they're beautiful photographs and they're familiar faces, right? Like it feels recognizable. It feels approachable because, you know, it's fun too. But then I easily spent another hour in that video room because it's just, it's addictive to sit there and have these beautiful images and the screen. It's as addictive as Instagram. It's arguably, it's a similar principle.
You mentioned some of the photographs that we'll see in the show, including some of her most famous. And people know her pictures, but we may not know as much about her. What can you tell us about her background and where she came from as a photographer?
She actually talks a decent amount about how her relationship with her father really informed her photography and her practice. So when you enter the exhibition, there's a series of photographs, famous people in their cars. And then on the other side of this wall, there are these images that Leibovitz took in her car when she was driving. Starting the show off with these images of cars and people in cars and driving stems from the fact that her father was in the Air Force and they moved every 2 years. And he loved to drive. And no matter what their economic situation was, he always had an excellent car. And so they would wake up before dawn, get in the car and drive to the new base, even if it was across the country or from the bottom of the country up to the top. And so this idea of being in motion, movement, the car culture, driving, seeing the landscape, watching the landscape as like a panorama that's unfolding, that is how she started kind of seeing the world. And a lot of the early photographs that you see are kind of her in transit or her photographing like the Golden Gate Bridge when she moves to San Francisco to start college and her own driving experiences. And that kind of feeds into this sensation you get as you go through the show of movement, that she's always going from assignment to assignment, from place to place, that she's not bringing people into her studio. She's going to where they are. And again, that idea of like finding movement and finding a dynamic sensation in these static images and the static experience is something that I feel makes this show very different from other photography shows.
I read in an interview that she decided at one point that she wanted to concentrate on portraits. And she also says that she has always had relationships with a magazine or magazines. Talk a little bit about that development in her career and how that kind of helped make her into an icon alongside of the people she shoots.
She was definitely in the right place at the right time with Rolling Stone starting in San Francisco and her starting in San Francisco and both of them coming out of this like revolutionary attitude, firmly embracing popular culture. It's not like intellectual rabble rousing. It's using the space of popular culture to talk about what's going on politically and socially, and to be critical about it. And that's something that Rolling Stone kind of revolutionized. Annie Leibovitz is looking to people like Henri Cartier-Bresson and Robert Frank and people who are working in that street photographer, documentary photographer space that was, you know, who were selling their photographs to Time and to Life. But she's also coming in as this revolutionary young, early 20s, and partnering with Hunter S. Thompson to cover the 1972 presidential race. Like, that's like a mind-blowing, like, different approach to journalism, as I know you know.
I'm sure it was, too. I just can imagine being on that trail.
Yeah, and it's just this whole way of being honest about the fact that everyone is playing this game and we're just trying to represent it as clearly as possible. So we let the game keep going, but we know that it's being played and we see what's going on. Actually, that start in photojournalism that she had with Rolling Stone is something that I see her bringing into magazines like Vanity Fair and Vogue, where there is this real self-awareness on what celebrity culture and what the cult of celebrity does to society and how it is both a platform for great achievement in the arts for many of the people who are celebrities, but also this trap where they have to perform or be a certain way in the public eye. And I find that Leibowitz's pictures very much play with that idea and criticize it. And I think that is often missed because you get caught up in, oh my God, it's Demi Moore naked with that giant diamond ring, instead of, you know, pregnant women are not usually appreciated. Here is this woman who has been basically, it's a very complicated history that Demi Moore has had with her body and with the perception of her beauty. And here she is on the cover of a national magazine showing her pregnant body. It was a revolutionary use of the camera, of a magazine, of celebrity to make a real statement about the beauty culture and about sexism in this country.
So I believe that this is the third location for the show at the Mint. Where did this show originate and how did it end up at the Mint?
So it originated at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville, Arkansas. It is the museum that was founded by Alice Walton of Walmart fame and money. Walton has really allowed her team, the people at the museum, to kind of shoot the moon in a lot of cases, just envision these exhibitions that can be as large and as ambitious as the curators and the artists can dream. Alejo Bendetti, who is the curator of the show, was able to work with Leibowitz and her studio and really come up with this really ambitious and thoughtful presentation of Leibowitz's career. And so it's this great opportunity for other museums to be able to showcase these projects that Crystal Bridges has the money to conceive and build. So when we heard that Crystal Bridges was doing the show, we immediately contacted Alejo and asked if we would be able to be one of the presenting venues, partially because, I mean, I have this real interest and passion and background in photography, and also because I'm interested fundamentally in that bridge between art space and the popular culture space. And Leibowitz bridges that perfectly.
Leibowitz is still, you know, after 50 years, she's still at it, working hard. If you follow her on Instagram, you see all of her latest photos for the magazines that she's still working for. And I understand that she has photographed the famous Charlatan and that it will be on display at the same time here. Tell us about that.
Mr. Hugh McCall, who is the former head of Bank of America and a great patron for the arts, all the arts from the symphony to the ballet to the visual arts. A number of his friends wanted to honor him. And on the occasion of the Annie Leibowitz exhibition, they commissioned Leibowitz to shoot a portrait of Mr. McCall. They went to his Texas ranch with his daughter, Jane, and spent 24 hours riding around, seeing the land, spending time together and getting, you know, just getting the feel of the place. Leibowitz took his portrait there.
Can't wait to see that one. And we should note that the Hugh McCall portrait was unveiled at the Mint's recent gala at the Mint Museum Randolph. It's supposed to hang at the Randolph site for a bit and then eventually move over to Uptown. Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you, David. It was great seeing you.
Jen Soodle Edwards is the chief curator of the Mint Museum. We've been talking about the exhibit Annie Leibowitz Work that runs through August 31st at the Mint Museum Uptown in the Levine Center for the Arts in Charlotte. More information is at mintmuseum.org. And now Phil Vavra joins us with his weekly fanfare update of things to do in the week ahead.
Thanks, David. With Mother's Day coming up this weekend, I've been on the lookout for events that will make mom happy. From Broadway to beach music, the next several days are filled with good stuff. How about we start with some Mahler for mom? Our friends in the Winston-Salem Symphony are bringing the titanic sounds of Gustav Mahler to Reynolds Coliseum for Mother's Day weekend, May 10th and 11th. Conductor Michelle Merrill will lead the program with performances of Sarah Kirkland Snyder's Something for the Dark and Mahler's Symphony No. 1 in D minor, Titan. Tickets start at only $10. You can also hear the four Winston-Salem Symphony Youth Orchestra's program ensembles perform their year-end concert at Reynolds Auditorium at 7 p.m. on Monday, May 12th. Admission for the spring finale featuring the Youth Symphony, Youth Philharmonic, Chamber Sinfonia, and Premier Strings is free. Stephen Sondheim's Broadway musical Sunday in the Park with George is coming to Blumenthal Arts Booth Playhouse in Charlotte for three performances May 9th and 10th, and that includes a 2 o'clock Saturday matinee. Nominated for 10 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, the story is inspired by and brings to life the work of French painter Georges Seurat. Mom might also enjoy discovering the ceramic work of over 80 local artists during the Carolina Clay Matters Spring 2025 Pottery Festival on Saturday, May 10th at the historic Ford Building at Camp North End in Charlotte. You'll be able to see the handcrafted clay creations of ceramicists from all over the greater Charlotte area. And if you forgot to buy Mom a Mother's Day gift, you'll find pottery for the kitchen, dining room, the wall, and garden. Food and refreshments will be available, and admission is free, but you must RSVP. Soak up the sun and plenty of fun at Matthews Summerfest, formerly Beachfest Matthews, May 9th and 10th at Stumptown Park in downtown Matthews. You can peruse the artisan shops while sipping on local craft beers. And don't forget your shaggin' shoes, because the Catalinas are bringing their beach music to the main stage on Friday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Admission is free, but you'll need tickets for the rides and other activities. If you're bringing the kids, the $30 wristband for all-you-can-ride night might be the way to go. You can read my complete fanfare update at WDAV.org, and I'll have more for you again next week. You can also find information about upcoming performances, festivals, etc. on the calendar of events at WDAV.org. David?
That's it for this edition of Piedmont Arts. Check back next week at WDAV.org/podcasts, where you can also find episodes you missed. I'm David Borax.